my goodness.
Natalie.
Kristen.
I still have a tickle in my throat. I still have a tickle in my throat, and I'm afraid it's snoring. Yeah, it's so cute. Oh, that gave me joy. By the way, I knew that as soon as we started rolling on the podcast, we would get this infusion of joy. And even though we didn't,
because we were so tired
before. And cranky. And even though we didn't do our woo sound, I wanted to share with you that on our last podcast, Joe, who does our podcast for us, sent me a message where she said, I didn't hear the woo sound. Did I miss it? Did I get the wrong recording? I said, no, we went.
We were woo-less.
We were woo-less. The woo's inside. It doesn't need to be external. The woo is in my heart. It's in my soul.
Now I feel drunk. I really have only had sparkling water, but the snort unlocked something in me that was dormant.
I'm on my second sparkling water. We should let them know.
Oh, all right. The Create Podcast. Starring these two crazy people. We could call this podcast, Why Are You Listening to These Crazy People? But instead, we'll figure out what it's called by the end of it.
That'll be our other podcast. Well, like our sister podcast.
It is nice to be back doing the podcast again, though.
I missed it.
I did miss it, too. And I love these conversations. And so anyone listening to this podcast, if you just stumbled upon us somehow, we welcome you. And this is really a podcast that started from my best friend, Kristen, and I just having some conversations, and we ended up having some girlfriends who said, hey, put a microphone in front of you. We want to listen in on these conversations. And so we love to talk about what we're processing, what we're trying to figure out imperfectly, the messiness that's showing up in our lives, and also just the celebration of friendship and joy and life and whatever we get to share in partnership together.
And Natalie has the most beautiful brown eyes that while she was talking, I was trying to focus on her words, but the warmth of her brown eyes was very penetrating to my soul. My soul's feeling a lot of things today.
And Kristen also just dyed her hair pink.
Yes, so to have a visual.
There's so many good things happening that we will try to focus on words.
Yes, we'll try to have a narrative that goes through this podcast. We actually do have a theme. And at some point in this podcast, we might get to it. And I might tell the story about dyeing my hair pink today.
Oh, that would be great.
And how it ended up all over my bathroom.
I think you must. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The mess is the message.
The mess is always the message.
Speaking kind of onto that. So what I was jamming on this week in my own personal life, what I was leaning into learning about is I've been kind of in this study of dissatisfaction. and not only in my own self, but I think that I've just seen this sort of necessary dissatisfaction that's kind of around in the ether of, you know, where change is being demanded, where it's like, that old thing doesn't work anymore, where we've had this pandemic, where just an example of a lot of people have been off work. And I saw this post recently that saying, you know, some people are really saying, I don't want to go back to working when, you know, my unemployment actually paid me more than that job did, and all these kinds of conversations. And so this real unearthing of this sort of underlying dissatisfaction where many people are at a moment in time where, and I know for myself, it's like, what really wants to go? What really wants to come in? And how can I actually tune out the world enough that I can listen in to myself, connect with Mother Earth, connect with divine in me, divine as I know it to be? And how can I really get still and present to what the dissatisfaction is trying to teach me, trying to tell me, and what does my life want to look like moving forward?
Yeah, it makes me think of how Martha Graham calls it the divine dissatisfaction. And she talks about it as all artists have a divine dissatisfaction where they're never really happy with their work. Mm-hmm. You know, you make the film, but you're like, oh, I see where I made mistakes. Or you look back at your performance and you see your emotional truth, but you see that moment you were disconnected, totally. Right? And we all have this way of seeing where we have room to grow.
Yeah.
And that perhaps that room to grow is where the divine is calling us towards. And it's nothing to like try to get rid of, but just this kind of wonderful invitation that there's always more.
Yeah, like, isn't this the feeling? And I think about this when you see children, like little babies. Babies don't have emotional maturity to feel more than one emotion kind of at a time. It just oscillates between basically comfort and discomfort. So when the baby feels discomfort, it could be from many sources, but really the two emotions they understand are I feel discomfort or I feel comfort. And I think that, so there's almost this like training, this conditioning that happens where it's like, if I'm in discomfort, then how do I get out of it? How do I not feel that? And some of what I think emotional maturity is what is the deep listening? If I get into deep relationship with this discomfort, you know, absolutely, it may be pointing me towards something that wants to change or something that wants to shift. It also might be trying to teach me something about myself. It also might be teaching me a resiliency. Like it's really the opportunity to get into communication with discomfort in a different way, where if my life is really built around how can I be the most comfortable the most of the time, then that's not really what this life is for. As Ram Dass says, you're in school, why not try the curriculum? And then my life will be altered, sort of a la when Michael Singer talks about the thorn that we're all trying to avoid, that we all may have a thorn in our life and we build this whole life around trying to avoid the thorn, but then the thorn becomes the thing that my whole life ends up being built around, the thing I'm trying to avoid feeling, the thing I'm trying to avoid knowing about myself. And I just notice, and especially, and I was sharing this with you this week, that I have noticed a really difficult relationship in my life with how I look, with my weight, with my body, and almost to the point where I know it's so beautiful and well-meaning, but often, you know, I married a chef, I think, to deal with my issues around food, because there was a long time in my life where I could spend the whole day eating a few almonds and then feeling really proud of myself, and then waking up the next day and feeling really thin and feeling really good about that. And it was very toxic. And I know it's generational. I know it's in my family. And I know it's voices that I've heard for a long time about what it is to look good. And the feeling that if you don't look good, people will talk about you. And so what's come up really interestingly in marrying Eddie is that he loves food, and food is central to his being and to his life. And so I have gotten to heal my relationship with food through this relationship in a really powerful way. And it's been hard, you know, and there's sometimes resistance, and sometimes it's like, you can't cook 2 days in a row. And it's like, wow, just noticing my own discomfort and my own dissatisfaction with enjoyment. Like dissatisfaction with being in the present moment, enjoying something that someone's made for me. But it's really been an interesting process that when I often post pictures of what he's made as a way to celebrate him, really, to say, like if I was married to an artist, I'd post a picture of the painting and say, look what this person I love created. And I notice so much of the time, people will say over and over, how do you stay so small eating that food? How do you stay so skinny? And it's brought up recently in me because my body has shifted lately and I've been negotiating some weight fluctuations and some difficulties with my body. I've just noticed recently this sort of feeling of pressure, like everyone's looking at me, everyone's looking at my body. And I'm so scared to not quote unquote look good, right? And then kind of this interesting thing to navigate of noticing that there's this level of dissatisfaction with imperfection within my own form. And how I can just notice how easily I can be hard on myself, mean to myself, obsessed with something that really is a distraction from who I came to be, what I came to do, and actually what I really love and what I really care about. And so I can notice the part of myself that says, let me just avoid this dissatisfaction by running 5 extra miles. Like, let me avoid this dissatisfaction by, you know, eating a little less. And I'm just starting to be in a relationship with myself where I say, no, Natalie, that's not the calling right now. right here, right now. That's not the loving choice to yourself.
Yeah.
That this dissatisfaction is up in this particular case for me to understand the conditioning, that is the abusive conditioning in my body around having to be small to be lovable.
Yeah. First, I just want to say thank you so much for being vulnerable and sharing that so honestly and openly. And that's big stuff.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of, I think you posted something on one of the socials that was like talking about these ancestral things that are passed down from one generation to the next, and this stops here. Mm-hmm. I think it might've been in your Accessing Magic class.
Yeah.
You posted something about like, and I do think there's this calling in all of us that there are these things that we see passed down in our family trees. I can look up my dad's family tree and be like, oh, look at the lines of people that are afraid to believe in their talent, you know, that are afraid to do what they truly love. I can look up my mom's side and see this desire to be liked that gets passed down, and I see how they come and they're here in me to heal. And I really resonate with when you talk about not wanting to feel that thing that comes up, and how this perfect curriculum that you created for yourself in marrying a chef,
right,
so that you could face the thing inside of you that wants to be healed. It's like this perfect healing situation that you've created. And I think something that's just up in the world right now is we're all learning how to feel our discomfort.
Yeah.
And instead of trying to run away, right before this podcast, you talked about like not escaping the trigger, but being willing to be in the trigger. I think we're all learning how to feel our pain, but not to numb our pain, not to run away from our pain, not to do those coping strategies we used to do so that we didn't have to feel our discomfort, but to listen to it so that we can actually heal it and transmute it. And I find for myself that my pain doesn't want me to rush the process.
No.
Like I want to get straight to the, let's heal and transmute the pain. And the pain's like, I need you to feel me without a timeline.
Yes. 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 I just want to say yes to that.
And I love, I've seen this on the socials as well, where it talks about pain as an anagram for pay attention inside now.
Mm.
And realizing that that pain has a message and it really wants my attention, which is why it is painful.
Yeah.
It's like a big flashing sign that's like, pay attention to this. And so the discomfort is so that I'll like really notice. And then when we link that back around to what you and I were talking about before about the divine dissatisfaction, it's like, the dissatisfaction's there in our art and it's there in our lives so that we pay attention to it so that we get the message.
Yeah, exactly. And this really reminds me of Mark Mason, who wrote the book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. He has this cool video on YouTube. He has many videos on YouTube. And I stumbled upon one of them that says, why you'll never be completely happy. I was like, I want to listen to that video. And in the video, he basically says that there was a pile of psychological investigations done, and they were really trying to figure out what is the baseline of happiness that people feel. And so they did a lot of research with the way he describes it vaguely. So I don't exactly know what they did, but in his video, he says basically there were hundreds of thousands of participants from all different backgrounds, all different economic status, all different places around the world. And they were just asking these people for a length of time to check in throughout the day. And the psychologist would say, how happy do you feel now? How happy do you feel now? How happy do you feel now? And this happened over an extended period of time. And then they took like the median of each person, and then they took of the whole collective. And they said across the board, everyone, no matter what, no matter if you were someone who pursued your passion or if you did a job you hate, no matter if you had a lot of money or a little bit of money, no matter where you lived in the world, across the board, everyone from 0 to 10 was basically a 7 and a 7 all the time. And it was the pointing to everyone felt basically okay, but were dissatisfied and wanted more.
Yeah.
And no matter how much you had, how little you had, what your life experience in this particular study, of course, there may be people listening saying, well, I actually don't feel that way. And so of course we want to honor that experience. It's in this particular study across the board, everyone was basically a 7. And so Mark's point became all of us, no matter what we do, where we come from, all of us have this divine dissatisfaction, this feeling that no matter where I am, there's always something more I could get. There's always something that is the motivating, right? There's this kind of human motivation to evolve. There's this motivation to say, oh, I've gotten to this level of intimacy with you. Now, can we go further? I've got this much money in the bank. Now, could I go further? I've finally committed to doing what I want to do with my life. Now, can I go further? I got this job that I love. Can I now get the next position? I now have the money to buy a home. I mean, maybe in a few years, I want a different home. And so there's always this dissatisfaction that's moving the needle towards more. And so ultimately what he says is we're all on this treadmill. And in front of us at all moments, we're on the treadmill and there's always a dangling carrot in front. And so the job of human life is to know that no matter what I do, I will be dissatisfied. I can follow my dream and I will be dissatisfied. I cannot follow my dream and I will be dissatisfied. I could be equally dissatisfied in this conversation with you as I could be, throwing my garbage out. Like there could be dissatisfaction in whatever shows up in my life to some degree. And so he says, pick the dangling carrot you actually want to chase. And how he frames it is pick the dissatisfaction that's worth it to you. Pick the dissatisfaction that's aligned with your values. You're going to be dissatisfied no matter what you do. It reminds me of Elizabeth Gilbert talking about the shit sandwich. Right?
Yeah.
It's like every job has a shit sandwich. Just pick the one that you're willing to eat, Yeah. So many artists or actors that I talk to, it's like, I don't have job security. I'm always feeling rejected and all of those are true dissatisfactions. And there would also be a dissatisfaction in not pursuing the thing that you love. Yeah. And so it's just choose your heart.
And the same thing that is true for career path is true with romantic partners.
Yeah.
Right. You can find yourself in a relationship and you're like, oh, this thing is so hard with this partner and so unmanageable, or this thing really irks me, and get right out of that relationship and date someone else and find many wonderful things about them. Maybe even the thing that triggered you in the last relationship and this one is great, and there'll be something else.
Something else.
There's always going to be that divine dissatisfaction. So then with your career and your romantic partner, you might as well just choose the one you love. And you're like, okay, I love this so much. And as Elizabeth Gilbert says, I'll eat the shit sandwich.
Yeah.
I think of like with directing, you never know when the project's going to go or not go. The income is up and or down. It's either like feast or famine. There's producers you have to deal with. There's lots of personalities to manage. I was working with an associate of mine and who's also a director. And we were just joking. We're like, oh my goodness, so much of directing is just like being a therapist to everyone on your team, because you have to hold everybody's concerns and their worries and their fears. So whatever you choose, there's going to be stuff that comes with the job. Just like whoever you love, there's going to be things that come with loving that person.
Wherever you live.
Yes, wherever you live, whatever city you choose.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you choose it.
So you choose it. And you know that you chose it.
Yes.
And you know that you can let yourself off the hook. It's mm-hmm. like, I'm not here in this life to make myself happy.
That's right.
I'm not here to chase happy. I'm not mm-hmm. here to be happy. And ultimately, if these studies are correct, no matter what I chase, I'm still going to be a 7.
Yeah.
Like I could get that job of my dreams. I could get that partner of my dreams. And I'm still going to be a seven.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's like, I will find something else to be dissatisfied with, even if I get what I think I want.
Exactly. Which is why it's so empowering to go, I choose this.
Yeah.
I choose this career, even though it's unstable. I choose this partner, even though there's this weird thing that I know I have to love in loving them. I choose to live in this city, even though here are the things. But in that, I think the love then becomes bigger than the hard.
Yeah. Right? The love becomes bigger than the hard. Wow.
And that connects me with the truth of who I am.
Yeah.
Right? The truth of who I am is love. And then I bring my love to wherever I am and to whatever situation I am. And then I get to experience myself as love inside those situations. And often when I am making space for the pain in my life, like when we talked about when the pain or discomfort comes up emotionally, I often think about letting the love energy in my heart get big enough to hold whatever pain, emotional pain I'm experiencing.
Yeah.
Can my love, I'll imagine the energy in my heart getting as big as the room, as big as my apartment, and just holding whatever pain is there. And I do the same thing with when it's like my career stuff, the dissatisfaction there. Can I just hold it? Mm-hmm. Can I just be with it? Or like the things about my partner that I find triggering. Can I just hold it? Can I just be with it? So that I'm not trying to get rid of it. I'm not trying to change that part of what comes with loving this thing.
And I'm not under the delusion that there's something I could do to change it anyway.
Yes, exactly, right?
Yeah.
Because like to change it would be to change what makes it
what it is.
What it is. And I heard the best thing on the Sam Lamont podcast, which I'm obsessed with, called How to Human. It's Anne Lamont's son. And he was having a conversation, I think it was with Gretchen Rubin. And they were both talking about how their partners don't like to read or listen to their work. It was so good. And Sam Lamont was saying that he had heard that trying to change your partner was like having this beautiful, very expensive classic car, but to fix the things about it would actually decrease its value.
Mm.
So then you just cherish it for what it is.
Wow. Yeah.
And then I wonder, can I do that with myself?
Can I do that with myself? That's right.
Can I accept Kristen for who and what she is and try not to beat up on her for the things that I'm dissatisfied about in myself?
Yeah, I think that that's really what it comes down to, is that if I know that dissatisfaction is actually the game, that it's the requirement of being a human.
Yeah.
That I incarnated to feel dissatisfied.
Yeah.
As an evolutionary tool. Then when I see dissatisfaction inside of myself, inside of my body, inside of my partner, inside of my job, can I stop thinking there's anything to fix here? And can I start getting curious, getting interested? You know, can I just start to redefine my relationship with that? And it almost made me think when you said, you know, you bring a bigger love to the hard. I think that's kind of the definition of devotion.
Mm.
That I am devoted to that which I'm willing to show up for, even when it's hard, even when it doesn't give me the payoff I think I want or the result I think I deserve.
Yeah.
That I know, you know, I see, especially in like, I saw my grandmother taking care of my grandfather through his dementia. And I saw such a devotion to just, I'm willing to be here with this person. And the dissatisfaction I feel in this process, but there's also love. And I also know that this is an act of service to this thing that I chose.
Yeah. It really helps me when I think of my career as devotional path.
Yeah. 100%.
So that when a project falls through or I'm having a particularly hard day, when I remember I'm doing it as an act of devotion.
Yeah.
So it's not about the thing. It's about the decision. It's about who I'm becoming as I follow it. I also thought about this when you were talking about the happy You know, I think a lot about happy not being something out there that I go and get, and how Michael Beckwith talks about joy being a quality that's inside of us, like how we're talking about love. I bring the love, like joy is something inside of me that then I feel, and then I bring that to whether it's my relationship or my career or myself.
Yeah.
That joy is accessible at any moment, and I can bring it, but where it can burn me is if I'm looking for it out there.
Yeah. And that I wonder how much of my life I spend distracted in thinking it should be different than it is, as opposed to being willing to be uncomfortable.
I would like to just own up that I spend a lot of my time thinking it's supposed to be different than it is.
Yeah.
I lose a lot of time in that way.
I lose a lot. I think I lose like 90% of my life. How can I make it different than it is? And I was listening to this rad Ram Dass talk the other day. I've been on such a Ram Dass kick because I'm trying to surrender my ego about my own form, my own body. So it's like Ram Dass is my guru at this moment that seems to speak most to that. But he said this thing the other day about, you know, in this world, if we always want to fix something, like we always want to fix each other. We always want to fix our partners. We always want to fix the career path. It's like, there's always something to fix. And he said this profound thing. He said, how presumptuous of me to want to take away your pain without having asked you how that pain is serving you. And there's that thing when I think about that dissatisfaction does serve me. It does motivate me. It does get me out of bed every day. Like that dissatisfaction does make me become an artist I couldn't be without it. That dissatisfaction does cause me to care about things outside myself that don't feel just. That dissatisfaction causes something in me that's profound and important. And if I'm always living in this world where I think, but my job is just to be happy, then in that universe, if that were in that fantasy, if that were possible, then I might stay in the little four walls of my house and just be happy all day and never actually live.
Then it's like you're missing it. We talked about that last week, right? Don't miss it. Don't miss it. And I think of like all those different emotions are like all the different colors in the Crayola box. And life is like, yeah, color with all of them.
Yeah, that one too.
Yes.
Yeah, don't avoid that one.
Get grief.
Yeah.
Pain, angst, romance, all the colors. Yeah. Have all the life, all the feelings, have all the experiences. And so I think there's the opportunity for when the dissatisfaction comes up, we're not surprised. We're like, oh, there's the divine dissatisfaction. It's working.
Yeah, it's working.
It's working. Here I am in life.
Yeah.
It's doing what it's supposed to do.
Oh, I'm a human again.
Yeah. Awesome. Great. Yeah, I can be with this.
Yeah.
Ooh, I wonder what happens if I'm with this and then let it show me something. So as opposed to me like rushing to find a solution.
Rushing to get out of it, rushing to get rid of it, rushing to solve it.
Push it down, pretend it's not there. Can I be in conversation with it?
Hey teacher, what do you got for me today?
Yeah. Pull up a seat.
Yeah. What wants to heal in me today?
Yeah.
Well, what's dismantling today? Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Ooh, I've been carrying that one around for a long time. Ooh, I've been avoiding that one. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, now's the moment. Okay.
And I love to think life always loves to give me something to do.
Oh man.
So when like there's something new to look at in myself, oh great. Life has given me something to do.
Yeah.
Oh, there's like a rift in this relationship. Life is giving me something to do here, right? So I can show up and go, all right. Also, This too,
yeah. As Ram Dass says, and so this too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think the kind of like moral of the story, if there is one, is you will spend your life chasing dangling carrots So what do you choose? What most interests you? What most grows you? What most aligns with your values? Chase that one, because you will be dissatisfied no matter what you choose. There will be growth, there will be pain, there will be joy, there'll be suffering, there'll be angst, there'll be love, there'll be sex, there'll be freedom, there'll be all of it. So what do you want to chase? And the way to really get to know that is often tuning out the world so that you can get into deep listening of the guru inside of you, because there's no podcast, there's no human, there's no post, there's no teacher who can tell you what you should chase. Mm-hmm. And it's reckless if anyone does.
Yeah.
You know?
That's why it's so, I've been spending so much time going in, and I find for myself, like, my soul always has somewhere new it wants to take me to. That, which is scary, right? It always wants to take me somewhere that I've never been before. And it takes like listening. It takes really going in, deciphering, following the clues, getting still, and to find that I'm being led through all of it, the things that light me up, and also where that like pain is, the discomfort, those things inside of me that I want to judge or fix.
Yeah.
Like it's all leading me somewhere.
Yeah. 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 So this is, you know, it's a moment in time that, you know, if you found this podcast at this moment, then maybe this becomes just a little opportunity to just take that sacred pause and say, what am I dissatisfied with right now? Is it aligned with what I want? Is it aligned with who I came to be? If not, is there something I want to do to get on a new treadmill, or to point my treadmill in the direction of beauty or grace or something else? Yeah. And let me truly spend my one precious life chasing those dangling carrots that are meaningful to me, because it'll be over before we know it.
It is all over so fast.
Which leads us to like the other weird podcast we were thinking about. It's so weird. We're humans.
I can't believe I'm here in a body.
There's blood coursing through me right now. It's so weird.
I can't believe I'm not plugged into anything and I just keep staying alive.
You never ever charge yourself.
No.
For years. And you never have to.
I have hands. How is that possible?
You have a fingertip that no one else has. How many of us are there? It's so weird.
How did we get here?
Why is your hair curly? Why is mine straight?
I can't believe you're in your body.
Yes.
I'm in my body.
Yes.
Here we are at a table. There's a computer. We're speaking into it. If we're not in awe at all times that this is even happening, what? Like, I just think that should be the bare minimum at all times.
The bare minimum is awe and wonder. Like, what is happening?
And like, the fact that we ever get past what is happening right now, that's crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we're going to be here,
might as well explore.
If we're going to be here, if we're going to be dissatisfied, do it for something that matters to you.
Yeah.
Because this is it. We don't know what comes after this. It's all so weird.
It's all an experiment. You know, anything could happen.
And it is happening.
Right now.
And it's happening whether we're on board or not. It's happening with or without us.
Life is living us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was listening to this Abraham Hicks talk. And then I know we're winding up. And she was talking about often we think that we are the dancer and life is the dance. And she's like, it's the other way around. Life is the dancer. It's dancing us. It's living through us.
Yeah.
Whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
You know, can we open up? This thing is happening.
It's so weird.
It's so weird.
Weird. So thanks for listening and enjoy the weirdness that you are. Enjoy the weirdness that this all is.
Enjoy the weirdness of your career, of your partner, of your lack of partner. Enjoy whatever brings you joy.
Yeah. and just see what you're willing to chase. What hard do you choose? Because then you get to know yourself as a powerful creator.
Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you liked this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T.Community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?